Tonight we're going to talk about faithfulness and five things that will help us in our efforts to be faithful to our Lord. The passage that I have chosen comes from Revelation chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Here John is receiving instructions from the Lord to write these letters to the seven churches of Asia. And in Revelation chapter 2, he is writing to the church at Smyrna in this passage. So let's read, if you will, these verses together. He says, "I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. But it's this next part that I want us to focus in on this evening. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." You know, when he is writing here, of course, he is talking to the people in Jerusalem. And basically, he's talking about the last days of the Roman Empire and all of the issues and the problems that will be taking place and how the Christians will be affected. And they will be affected in many ways. He talks about them being thrown into prison. He talks about them being tested. He talks about the tribulation, the trials, the problems, the difficulties that they are going to have in their Christian life because they are Christians. And then he tells them to remain faithful even through all of this, because it is so important that we never give up, that we never stop trying to serve our God. And he tells us the same thing. And if you are faithful unto death, and basically what this is saying is that even if you are faithful, even if it causes your death, you be faithful to God. You know, that's a tall order. And it was a tall order for the saints at Smyrna. They are about to suffer. And can you imagine what was going through their mind as they are being told this? That these things are about to happen to you. Just like if someone came up to you today and said, something is about to happen to you that is not good. It is going to cause you a lot of trouble. It is going to cause you a lot of difficulty, and you're going to have to endure it. What's going to go through your mind? Well, the first thing is you're going to wonder, well, how am I going to live with this? How am I going to go through this in a good way? And be faithful to God through all of this. You want me to be faithful to God through this? That had to go through their mind. And again, that's a tall order. And it's a tall order today. Just imagine if we were given similar news. You can't help but wonder how many would leave God if they knew some things like this was going to happen. How many would run through the church doors never to come back? You know, we today as Christians, we suffer. We suffer in many ways. Maybe not in the same way physically like the people in the days of the early church did. But we have our trials. We have our tribulations. And we have to face them, and sometimes we have to face them daily. But just like the people in the days of the early church, just like the people at the congregation of Smyrna, we must remain faithful to God regardless of what Satan throws at us. Now, the question I have for us today is how? How do we remain faithful unto death? Even if it causes our death, we must be faithful to our God. So I call this lesson the five necessities of faithfulness. Things that we need to put into our lives that will help us remain faithful to our God. And these things that we're about to talk about is going to tell each and every one of us just how strong we are as children of God. So let's get into the first one. The first one is that we need to be dedicated. Now, you know, we devote our lives to different things. Sometimes we may work on different projects that are important to us, work-related, maybe even hobby-related. Some people will go out of their way to improve themselves in just something that they have fun at and have a good time with. Some people will devote all of their time trying to gain a higher position in life. And again, it could be because of work, it could be because of a hobby, it could be because of a social position that you are wanting in your life. You know, we have those who are just like the rich farmer that Jesus spoke of in Luke chapter 12, who concentrated only on what he had. And he wasn't satisfied. He wanted more. He wanted so much more. In fact, he built greater barns so he could have more. And they used their time, their talents, and their treasures in these quests. But in reality, our dedication needs to be to God. We need to be striving to do His will, to do things His way, and to carry out His work. In other words, we should put Him first in our lives as we go through our lives each day. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, he said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." This entire verse spells out putting God first. And you know, when you look at yourself in the mirror, you should be looking at someone who puts God first in their lives. We have a lot of people that tell us they do, but in reality, they really don't. You know, David tells us in Psalms 37, and verse 5, he says, "Commit your way to the Lord and trust also in Him." Being faithful unto death means that you will be dedicated to Him for life, that it never ends, it never stops. So being dedicated is the first thing that we must do in our lives, as a necessity in our lives. Number two is that we need to be disciplined. Undisciplined people in anything never accomplish their goals. You know, sometimes we get so excited as young people to go to college. I know I was excited about college when I first started to college. By the time I finished, I was ready to get out. I found out, and it didn't take very long to find out, that college was much harder than high school. Because I was a straight-A student in high school, but I struggled in college. Because it is a big difference. And if you've done both, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We need to discipline ourselves to be successful in anything that we do. This is particularly true with our spiritual lives. The church at Smyrna, they had failed in this blessing that God asked them to put Him first in their lives. They did not practice self-control. They did not practice restraint. And these are two things that must be practiced by the Christian. We need to set rules for ourselves, and we do. Don't we set rules for ourselves in life? We know that we're obligated to be successful, so we need to set rules and limits for ourselves so that we can accomplish these things in life. And as Christians, we must set rules and limits for ourselves so that we can glorify God with our lives. James tells us in James chapter 1, verse 12, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial." Now that means that we need to remain steadfast to God even though things go wrong in our lives. Now, James is also letting us have a heads up on this. He is telling us things are going to go wrong in our lives. And it's happened to every one of us, right? We have all had things go wrong in our lives. But we are to remain steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. Now that's what Revelation 2 and verse 10 says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you that crown of life. We read from Paul in 2 Timothy. He was ready to receive his crown because he had fought the good fight. He had finished the course. He had kept the faith. And therefore there was laid up for him that crown of righteousness which the Lord the righteous judge will give him in that day. And then he goes on to say, and not to me only, but to all of those who love his appearing. But it takes discipline to do this. And if you can't discipline yourself as a Christian, perhaps you need to take a look at your Christianity and find the weaknesses that are there, because you have weaknesses that are there. And discipline yourself so that you can pass the test. Number three, we need to be determined. Determined. Another word for that might would be stubborn. Do we have any stubborn people in here? I see a lot of smiles. Saw one hand go up just now. Two hands. Yeah. If we were honest, every hand would have went up, wouldn't it? We all have an element of stubbornness about us. We are determined in many ways in life. Some Christians, however, we lack the power to have determination. We are like the seed that falls by the shallow soil in the parable of the sower. We can't stand the test when testing comes. And we fall apart when things begin to go wrong. I remember so well, and I still do it today, when I started preaching. And I forgot to say something that I should have said. And I walked down from the pulpit thinking to myself, man, why didn't I say that? I wanted to say that. It was an important thing. And I left it out. And I worried about that for the longest. And I still do. Even though I've got the words right here in front of me, sometimes I forget to say them, or I say them wrong. And believe it or not, I do say things wrong. I need to have determination to correct that. You know, determination is supplemented by the power of God. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15 in verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. In other words, be determined. Immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, there's a reason for that. There is a reason that we put our determination in God and in ourselves as followers of God. And it's because that he is more than a match for Satan. He's already proven that. The wars of heaven took place, and Revelation tells us a little bit about that, and so does the book of Daniel. And we do know that God won that battle easily. Satan is no match for him. And in doing so, he tells us that we can conquer Satan as well. We don't have to say yes to him. We can walk away from him. You see, there's one thing that Satan can do. He can lie to us. He can challenge us. He can show us how beautiful sin can be. But there's one thing that he cannot do. He cannot make us sin. We can go all the way back to the very beginning with Eve, when he tempted Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit. Now, in all probability, this is not the first time she'd seen that fruit. No doubt she had seen that tree standing there. And she had seen the fruit on the tree, and she never gave it a thought. Why? Because God said, don't give it a thought. Leave it alone. Don't eat it. Don't touch it. And she was abiding by that until Satan challenged that. He caused her to look at it in a different way. There are so many sins, folks, that we see every day. And we would never, never be a part of it until Satan causes us to look at it differently. And that's one thing he can do. But he cannot make us give in to it. We can conquer Satan through him. And we can be determined to do so. The next thing is that we need to be diligent. Isn't that about the same thing we've been talking about? Well, very similar. Yeah, it really is. But I want to read to you something that the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. He said, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show that same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." Y'all know what slothful means? Slothful means that you're just half-hearted in life. We have a lot of slothful people in life, don't we? We've had people to be slothful in their jobs, slothful in their relationships, slothful in their marriages. And we have people who are slothful toward God. We have people who came today for this morning to worship God. They were slothful in that point because they're not here tonight. They are half-heartedly working as a Christian. They forget their diligence. They're more interested in other things, trivial pursuits, temporary pursuits. Yet we are to be diligent toward God. You know, we are encouraged to be diligent in our lives. We are encouraged to help those who are needy. We are encouraged to be diligent in taking the gospel to the lost. We're told so many times throughout the Bible just how important the gospel of Jesus Christ is. Paul said, "I don't want to know anything else but the gospel of Jesus Christ." Jesus tells us in 3 of the 4 Gospels to go out into the world and teach that gospel to all people. Let other people know what it's like and how to have it. And not only that, we are to be an example to the lost and to each other. You know, it should be easier for us to be Christians here than anywhere. And I guess it is, isn't it? It's easier to be a Christian here than out there in the world. We know that because we're all working together. When we get out there, we're not all together, and it does become more difficult. So we must be diligent, never stopping, always pushing forward, never giving up. And then number 5, we need to be dependable. Some, out of habit, fail in their duties to God and in their duties to man. They are undependable. Do we know anybody like that? Do we know folks who we can't count on, who we know are going to fail in their efforts to get a job done? We see it every day, don't we? In literally every aspect of life. You know, it didn't take a long time to figure out that the Dawson Road Church of Christ, who you can depend on and who you can't. Terry and I know, we could write a list. We know who will help us get the job done, and we know who are going to sit there and let somebody else do it. We know that. And we talk about it all the time. We know who is dependable and who is not. Now, here's something else we need to know. The undependable will be judged for their lack of dependable lives. They will be judged for their unfaithfulness. Yeah, disappointment, discouragement, it comes to all. We all face trials and tribulations. But just like those at the church in Smyrna, if we will remain steadfast, if we will be dependable as children of God, we will be found worthy to receive that crown of life. The Apostle Peter reinforces this thought in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. We can have that in life, my friends, but it comes from living a life of being dependable to our God. When we read Revelation 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Yes, it's a tall order, and it will take dedication. It will take discipline. It will take determination. It will take diligence, and it will take dependability. We must put these things into our lives if we are going to succeed in life as a child of God. That's what Jesus was trying to get across to the church at Smyrna, because they were failing in that effort. And he tells us the very same thing today. Now, my question tonight is, will you be found faithful unto death? Tonight, if you're not a Christian, you need to surrender your life to the Lord tonight, because you cannot be found faithful until you become a child of God. It may be that as a Christian you have lost your faithfulness because you have allowed something to stand in the way of your dedication, to cause you to lose your discipline as a Christian, that have caused you not to be determined as much as you used to be to live for the Lord. You're not diligent anymore in your desire to worship and serve Him. And because of all of that, you cannot be depended on as a Christian. You need to change your life tonight and put God back as number one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, Jesus said, Matthew 6:33. And all these other things will be added to you. So tonight, think about the essentials that you have, that you need to put into your life to be accepted by God. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come as we stand and sing this song.